Hey, brothers and sisters, this is Rockstar here, and you are listening to episode 14 of the SMG Podcast. Yeah, guys, this is another episode with just the Rockstar. Yes, I don't know where Chisholm is. I don't know what has he been doing all this time. Like, I guess he's betrayed us, you know? He doesn't want to do a podcast anymore. Well, no big deal, because you got me, you got the Rockstar here, so this is still going to be a great podcast episode. Probably around the same length as the last episode, but still good stuff. I know, guys. It's been a long time since I've done an episode. Mainly because there's nothing been going on in the video game industry that's worth talking about. But I found this week to be pretty good, so decided to do an episode for you guys. So we're going to have the video game news. I will have somebody do video game trivia soon. I'm thinking of doing Shin again, since after all, we did give him an easy one last time. And sorry guys, I haven't done Grand Theft Auto 4 yet. I'm still working on it. It's such a big game that it's going to take a while to do, so bear with me. I will probably get it done soon. But this week, I'm going to review a game that is not very well known, actually. It's called Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. I'm sure you Nintendo people have heard of it, but for all others, it's probably just another game that slipped by. Yeah, one of my good friends, Aaron, was talking about it, so I'm thinking, hey, I should review this game. It is pretty underrated, so stay tuned for that. So let's get down to it. Video game news. Basically, not much going on, except the biggest thing I have seen in this industry so far this month is the acquisition of Take-Two, yes. With that going on, we've heard all summer how Electronic Arts is trying to buy Take-Two, right? And Take-Two is like, no, you can't buy us. We're worth more than what you've asked us to bid on. So that's been going on all summer long. And finally, it's come to a conclusion. And the verdict? EA has canceled out. They won't be buying Take-Two at all. Which is good news for some people. If you want my opinion, I think that's great news. Since this video game industry is becoming a monopoly now. And everyone's getting bought out. Don't you guys think? Oh, I'm just glad that Take-Two hasn't got bought out. Can you imagine EA making Grand Theft Auto? I'm skeptical about it, but yeah, it turns out after all that Electronic Arts, they're not going to be buying Take-Two. I guess they backed out. The shareholders kept their word. They weren't going to sell their shares. So it looks like it's all over now. So I guess EA is looking for somewhere else to bid on. Or there's been rumors going on that other companies are trying to acquire Take-Two, but Take-Two won't say which companies exactly. So yeah, looks like Take-Two is still trying to get bought out by somebody, but not by EA, which could be good or bad. Anyways, so we got that down, so Take-Two is going to stay exclusive for now. I heard this one, somebody told me this. Microsoft is shutting down the Halo Wars studio, Ensemble. I wonder what that means. I really want to play Halo Wars. Basically, I'm imagining Halo or StarCraft with Halo. So that's a game I've been waiting for. That's a game that's been announced before Halo 3 got announced. And I was looking forward to that. But it looks like it's going to take a while. I hope it doesn't end up like StarCraft Ghost, where it's just kind of vaporware now. So please, Microsoft, make Halo Wars. I really want to play it. I'm sure Chisholm wants to play it since he's addicted to Halo now. So whatever you're doing, please, just finish the goddamn game. Please. And other than that, like I said, there's nothing going on in video games right now. Just a bunch of releases coming out. Oh, did I mention Spore? The big game that took forever to make finally came out. I'm surprised. I thought it would take like another year to make, but it came out finally. But I haven't played it yet, but I am going to get, Pickle to review the game. when she does come over, since she has been waiting for this game for so long, and it'd be great to hear an opinion not only from a girl gamer, but from someone who's been waiting for this long, to see what kind of reaction was it like. Was it worth it? Was it worth the wait? Is this game what is it what it's cracked up to be? That's what I'm wondering, because if you go on GameSpot, you'll see that it got a pretty low score for a game that's been in development for a long time. 8.0. 8.0 is the score that Spore got. I was surprised. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, it took that long to make a game that only got 8.0. So I'm definitely going to wait for this review that Sarah's going to do. So I can't wait for that. And other releases that are coming out. Little Big Planet, one of the bigger games for PS3. It just got turned gold, which means, turning gold means the game is done in development and is ready to be shipped out. So that's good news for Sony, because I want to hear some good games coming out for the PS3. So far, it's been a drought. Wii is not coming out with anything. Nintendo, this Christmas is going to be hell for you guys. I think there's a few games coming out for the 360, but it looks like PS3 is coming out with some big titles, thankfully. So, Sony, you might convince me to get a PS3. You never know. And next up, Mega Man 9. It's coming out October 1st to a console near you. So if you go on your virtual console or whatever, or arcade mode, it's 360 owners, and I don't know what the hell it is for PS3, but I'm sure they have the same thing. So October 1st is a big day for Mega Man 9, and I'm sure Chisholm will review that game. See, I'm not a big Mega Man fan, so I definitely won't be the one reviewing the game, and hopefully by then he'll be back on this podcast reviewing some games and running his style, emo style. And lastly, remember that weird Game Boy Advance game called Kingdom Hearts? Yeah, we played it for the PS2, but there was one for the GBA. To me, that was a crappy game. And they're porting it to the PS2. I don't know how they're going to do it. I remember it being two-dimensional. Really boring. It was a card-based game. And what I find with card-based ports or sequels or spin-offs, they suck. Really. It's card-based RPGs aren't the best, except for Baten Kaitos, which is cool. So, a couple new releases coming out. It looks like it's going to be finally something's going on. I haven't played anything besides Final Fantasy Tactics A2. I really want to play my 360 games. I mean, I haven't been on in so long since I've been so busy. I still have to play Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty 4, which is still sitting on my CD rack, collecting dust, unopened. I will open it. Next time my buddies come over, my gaming buddies, I'll definitely be playing that game. So, that's all the video game news we have this week. I know, it's pretty slow. We're nearing the end of September, and not much has happened so far. Yep, and that's about it. I'm going to move on to the next section. Here's something I want to read out, which I haven't done in a long time. Top 10 list, yes. Top 10 list. I got this one from GameFAQs. This list is by James Cork. I'm sorry if I haven't pronounced your name right, but that's how I see it. So, this list is top 10 video game levels stages. Yeah, we've all played these. We've all played video games, and we added that level that was, like, weird or really interesting. Well, this is a pretty good list, and I wanted to read it out. So, let me start it off. Number 10, the rainbow level in Mario Kart. Yes, hate the rainbow level. You remember that level where you're riding on the rainbow and, like, you die in, like, 2 seconds? And, you know, when I'm facing Chisholm, I always knock him off with a red shell. Yeah, good times with this. It's been played over and over again. I mean, I think every single Mario Kart that I've played so far has this level. The rainbow level, and it's a bitch, I can tell you, but it's definitely an interesting level to play. Let's move on. Number 9 is Casino Night in Sonic the Hedgehog. Yes, I remember this. It's the casino level, yes. It's definitely weird, because since you're going really fast in a casino, that's something really interesting. But that's what I liked about the old Sonic games. The levels were really interesting. I remember playing this old level with when you're inside a ghost castle. But definitely I remember the casino, so that's good. Number 9. Number 8, the asteroid field, Star Fox 64. Yeah, I remember shooting all those asteroids, trying to dodge things and stuff when I was a little kid. Yeah, you definitely need to play that level if you haven't played Star Fox 64. Great game. Asteroid Field, great level. Number 7 is Norfair from Super Metroid. Well, I honestly haven't played this, so I'm just gonna read the description this guy put here. Lava has never been so funny and bad at the gamer before Super Metroid's lava-based level. Norfair is notorious for having some of the trickiest jumps in the history of side scrollers, and it makes you enter the atmosphere of Metroid with a snap of your fingers. I need to play that game, Super Metroid, to get an idea of what this guy's talking about, but it seems like it's a tricky level, and it really captures the weird, spooky atmosphere that the Metroid series is so famous about. Number 6. Ah! If you play GoldenEye, you'll remember this level. The facility. Yes, this is the second level. I think it's one of the best design levels that Rareware made. Basically, you're like in this factory, and it's just a long, big maze, basically. But it's pretty much famous for trying to get this cheat that's so impossible to do. Basically, you have to beat it in Perfect Agent, or no, Double Agent. Sorry, that's Perfect Dark. Basically, you have to beat the level in 2 minutes, which is pretty much impossible to do. So I don't know how you do it. Yeah. Number 5 is the Disney Castle from Kingdom Hearts 2. It's pretty cool. I mean, I found some more memorable levels in Kingdom Hearts 2, but I guess the Disney Castle's all right. 'Cause after all, in Kingdom Hearts, you're pretty much it's a pretty much a Disney Final Fantasy world, and it was weird in the first one since you never actually got to go to the castle. So it's pretty interesting to see it in the second version of Kingdom Hearts. Number 4 are the sewers in Resident Evil 4. I haven't played this one, so I'll read this one out to you. The entire game is divided in levels, at which the scariest but the most, the sewers are just so kicking ass cool, as scary as gritty. Leon here faces no zombies, no big clawed monsters, but giant insects. I need to play that game. Number 3 is Big Blue Circuit from Super Smash Bros. Melee. Yeah, you know what? It's a very interesting level, Big Blue, since you're not actually even on the ground. You're on top of cars. So, and once you fall off, you're pretty much screwed. So, it's just a fast-paced, kicking-ass level, if you know what I mean, people. Next one is Tall, Tall Mountain from Super Mario 64. I forgot what this level was. Okay, let me read this out to you guys right here. Let's see. Tall, Tall Mountain features some of the coolest things in the entire Mario 64 game. First of all, it is a huge mountain, probably the highest one you've ever seen in a video game. Yeah, since it was the first 3D game. And even though it's childish, it's kicking cool to come to jump around, to land on your back and kiss goodbye to half of your life. I don't remember this level exactly. Tall Tall Mountain. There was a. Oh, okay. I remember now. Yeah, there's just wind blowing. Whatever. It's just another level. The only thing I found cool about this one is the secret slide. Yeah. Brings back childhood memories. And number 1 is, oh, the water temple from Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda. I hated that level. Yeah. But it was so cool swimming around and everything. So I definitely agree with this guy that the water temple is always something to be remembered for, especially with the fact that you face Dark Link, your own imitation. He was probably one of the hardest bosses ever I've ever faced. So kudos to you, James Cork, for an awesome top 10 list. I love it here. Definitely going to make my own sometime, if I ever get time. So anyways, let's move on. It's time for Name That Video Game Tune. Guess what this one is? Alright guys, if you guys didn't know what that song was, it was Booster Tower from Super Mario RPG. And from what I heard, DJ Chisholm told me that game has been released for the Virtual Console. So guys, go buy it. It's one of the best freaking RPG. Well, not the best RPG ever, but if you're a Mario fan and you like RPGs, you'll definitely love that game. So check out that game. Alright, now it's time for video game review. And this week I'm going to review a game that nobody's ever heard of. And this game is called Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. I know some of you might know this game, but I know most of you guys don't. Let me break it down for you. Basically, you know how Nintendo has this whole kitty image thing? I think it still does, but they tried to reverse their little image by releasing this game, Eternal Darkness, which is a rated M game. Their first published rated M game ever for Nintendo. So, definitely a surprise there. So, it's pretty much a horror game, like Resident Evil and Silent Hill and all that. But I find this game to be awesome. Like, it's very unique. It's very different from Resident Evil. It's very different from Silent Hill. But it has its own kind of way of scaring people. And let me just summarize it now. It's an awesome game. So, let me explain what this game is about. Story-wise, it copies a few things from a guy named Lovecraft, which is another guy who writes horror stories. So basically, you're this chick. Her name's Alexandra. Older brother, you're in this mansion and you're wondering why the hell your grandfather's dead. Your grandfather gets killed and basically you're her character and you're wondering why the hell did he just die. He has his head chopped off in a mansion, in a creepy ass mansion in the middle of Rhode Island, and you're wondering what the hell happened to him. So basically in the first mission you find this tomb, kind of, this book, this eternal book of something, and then you find out what's been going on, and it's a pretty interesting story. I don't want to go into it too much for those who haven't played it, but basically, you read this book, and throughout the entire mansion, you find all these clues, and basically, you're fighting a force, like a big demon force. Like, basically, Alexandra's grandfather's death is something a lot more complicated, which leads into a bigger story, and it spans 2,000 years. So, I think when you're playing Alexandra, she's in the year 2000. And the first guy you play, he's a guy named Pius. And he becomes the main enemy of the game. And he was from 2,000 years ago, from BC, back then. And basically, you figure out what's been going on, like you play a bunch of different characters. You're not always playing the same characters in this game. You're playing different characters each time. So I guess if you play like StarCraft or something, you know what I mean. Like you play a different race. In this game, you play a different character each chapter. So basically, every character in the story has something to do with your grandfather's death. And I don't want to get too much into it. It's pretty hard to explain, but trust me, it's a great story. I think any story that involves time is really good, especially a game like this, since it spans 2,000 years, and it's actually based on real history. So, one era you could be playing when the whole witch hunt thing, the Inquisition, and in another era you're playing while World War One is happening, and there's one part, which is very late in the game, you play in the Iraq War, the Gulf War, in the 90s. So, definitely a lot of history. The story, a lot of stuff has been into it. They put a lot of effort into it. And overall, I think they did a great job with the story, which makes this game really enjoyable. Well, anyways, enough about the story. Let's get down to it. So what makes this game scary? Well, it's not so much the fact that, like, Resident Evil, you got things jumping in front of you, like dogs and stuff, like scary ass dogs, or just downright creepy. What makes this really creepy is this thing called the sanity effect. So basically, you know how like you have in a game, you have your health meter, right? Well, in this game, you have a sanity meter as well. So eventually, you start off with a high level, And then once you start seeing enemies and stuff, your sanity level starts going down. And then when that meter goes down, some weird stuff starts happening. Yeah. So once you're playing, there hasn't been a list of all these sanity effects, but as far as I know, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page since I haven't played this game in so long. But basically, I'm gonna talk about a couple of things that happen to you when you lose your sanity. So, for example, when I was playing, the walls start bleeding when you're when you're losing your sanity. What else happens? I was trying to do this magic trick, and it ended up killing me, and then it did it. So there's a lot of fake stuff that happens in this game, such as when you're trying to save the game, it shows that you deleted your files. This will scare the crap out of you. So there's a lot of weird shit happening in this game. What else is there? Yeah, like I said, the walls are bleeding. There's a fake blue screen of death. There's a lot of statues in this game, and believe it or not, they start looking at you when you start playing this game. There's paintings everywhere on the wall. Normally, they're just normal paintings, but when you start losing your sanity level, holy, the painting's incredibly scary, like apocalyptic kind of stuff. What else happens? The character starts talking to himself. You start hearing voices. But just go on YouTube, search it up. You'll see what I mean. It's really cool, but when you start playing, it'll freak the crap out of you. Like it, shit, man, that really scared. Like it creeped me out when I played it. When I started losing my sanity. When I played this game at night, freaked the crap out of me. So definitely one of the best games. I normally don't play horror games, but this is one of the very few horror games that I actually enjoyed. So you'll definitely love it for the scary part. So now that we talked about that, let's talk about, is this game fun? For the most part, yes. This game is fun. It's basically your pretty much action game. You get a weapon, you kill people, you solve puzzles, you collect items. It's basically your standard kind of game. There's a magic system too, so basically you use magic, you spell out words, so to say. So when you collect magic, you have letters, so you basically spell out a spell. No pun intended. And that's how you cast spells. So you can heal yourself, attack enemies. It's kind of like Pokemon too, where it's a rock, paper, scissors. There's three elements in this game. There's the red. I'm sure there's a formal term for this, but I have no idea. But I remember it's a red, green, and blue. Basically, one beats the other, and basically that's what you have to do to beat this game, which is using your magic. And basically, that's all. That's it. Sometimes the action can get a little slow. I mean, the action isn't that much fun. It's really slow paced. So at times it can get incredibly repetitive. Especially if you die, then you're gonna have to do the same thing over again. But I think this game is mainly for the horror effect. So it's fun, but if you want to get scared, that's the whole point of this game—to get the living crap scared out of you. Now, okay, let's move on to graphics here. The graphics are, at the time, they were amazing for the GameCube. It definitely showed what the GameCube was capable of, so I'd say it was good. But if you were to look at it now, you know what? It still looks pretty good. I think Silicon Knights did an amazing job with the graphics and stuff, and basically it had to look good for it to be scary. There's not much to talk about the graphics. It's one of the less important things in this game, like many other games, and I think Eternal Darkness is one of them as well. For the sound is very important, because if you don't have the right sound effects, the game won't be scary. And fortunately, Eternal Darkness has the right sound effects for it, so you'll be hearing like noises, creepy noises, people screaming, that kind of stuff that scares the crap out of you. And the music is pretty scary. Although there isn't much variety to the soundtrack, because once you start playing like different levels, you'll hear the same music over and over again. But the good thing is the music is pretty good. It is creepy, and that's what it's intended to be creepy or just depressed. You know what? I don't like some of the music because it's just depressing. It's not really scary. It's just depressing. So it's not really scaring me at all. So it serves no purpose to this game whatsoever. So it's a mixed bag. Yeah. What else? So replay value. Well, for me, I only played it once, and that was it. I didn't want to play the story again. You could play it again 3 times to get the 100% secret ending, but I didn't bother anyway. So I think this is the kind of game, once you play it, you won't want to play it again. So if you were to ask me to rent or buy this game, if you could play it fast, then I would definitely rent this game. But if you can't, then buy it. It's only like 20 bucks, 20, 30 bucks. Definitely worth the game. It's not going to be around for a long time, so you should pick it up. Or if you have a friend that has it, if you have a friend that would have it, because it's a pretty rare game now, definitely borrow it off them, because this is a game worth playing. So now that I talked about that, let's summarize it up. So what are the good things about this game? It is scary. The sanity effects are amazing. It's really creative. It's a fun game. The story is good. The sound effects are good. That's pretty much it. And it's definitely an underrated game overall. And as for the bad things, like I said, the action can get a bit slow-paced sometimes. So sometimes you're just going to be slugging through, like a slug through a level. So sometimes you'll be bored. And again, the music sometimes isn't that great because it's just boring. Just one of those depressing musics. Very generic. Other than that, that's it. That's all I can say. I know you should check out the other reviews. Like, it's one of the most underrated games of all time, Eternal Darkness. If you check IGN and GameSpot, you'll see the very high ratings for it, 9.0 and stuff. For me, I'm going to give this game a 9.0 as well. You know what? Because this game is definitely underrated. It's very unique, which is why I'd give it such a high score, because it's unlike any other horror game that you've ever would play. And it's one of a kind, because you won't see any other game like this with sanity effects. And that's its trademark here. So basically, bottom line, play this game. Check it out. It's one of those very few Nintendo gems that are really good that no one ever heard about. So definitely check this game out. Alright guys, that's another episode done, and for sure next week I will have Chisholm on the show, because I don't know what the hell is he doing, but I promise you guys, I know you miss him, so he's going to be on the show next week. That's pretty much it, and definitely I'm going to have some video game trivia, and if I have time this week, I don't know if I'll have time, I will get that Grand Theft Auto 4 review done and over with. I just want to spend lots of time with it because it definitely deserves a good review. I will see you guys later.